6 years ago, almost to the day, I had the privilege of preaching and presiding at James Duckett's church in Burnaby, BC, on the occasion of the baptism of his youngest child. Now, I trust the name James Duckett rings some bells for most of you, as James is arriving this week to take up the office of associate incumbent here at St. Helens. The sermon I preached that day drew on a work of fiction, which, as it happens, was also part of my personal parting gift to Stephanie on her last day here at St. Helens. And so it seemed sort of inevitable that I would reuse this source material today, especially since James is the only one who's heard me do it before. However, the rest of the sermon is original material just for you this morning. Now, you might be assuming that this work of fiction that found its way into a special baptism service, that's found its way into a parting gift to a fellow clergy person, that it would be some sort of profound, significant work, engaging with serious questions of philosophy or theology or ethics. And it is, but perhaps not quite in the way you might imagine. This work of fiction is the novel The We Free Men, which is one of the Discworld novels, a very long series of comedic fantasy novels written by the British author Terry Pratchett, who, for the record, was an atheist, although he grew up in an Anglican family. In The We Free Men, arguably technically written for children, but don't ever let that stop you, Pratchett introduces us to the Nacmac Feagles. The Nacmac Feagles are a species of rather wild, but very good-natured, good-hearted fairy folk. And a key feature of the Nacmac Feagles is their firm belief that they are, in fact, already dead and are enjoying the fruits of the afterlife. Now, this belief results in some pretty ridiculous choices on the part of the Nacmac Feagles, but it is also a pretty effective approach, both to daily life and to the particular dangers that come when you're a character in a fantasy novel. Believing they are already dead, you see, sets them free to be entirely, completely fearless. And believing that they are already in heaven fills them with a deep, deep joy and appreciation for the world around them that sustains them even in moments of sadness or confusion or danger. Now, I do want to note, in case anybody rushes off to read the book, that the Nacmac Feagles are not a people to imitate. Their idea of heaven involves a great deal of fist fighting, drinking, and stealing. So perhaps a little different than our understanding of heaven, I trust. However, as Christians, we do share this one critical feature with the Nacmac Feagles, as the letter to the Colossians reminds us. We are dead, and our life is hidden with Christ in God. It's a pretty bizarre statement, really. We are already dead, and our life is hidden with Christ in God. It is the stuff of fairy tales or fantasy novels, really. And it's no wonder that early Christians were treated with suspicion and even hostility. This faith of ours disrupts the natural order in ways I don't think we usually really notice. allowing such claims to become tame metaphor rather than wild assertions. But it's not just a metaphor, or at the very least, it is certainly not a tame metaphor. It is a rejection of the power of death itself, rooted in the resurrection of Jesus and extended to us in baptism. As the previous chapter of Colossians, which we read last week, states, "When you were buried with Christ in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead." And as if rejecting the power of death weren't wild enough, it is also a wild assertion about the nature of this life we now live. For like the Nacmac Fegals, we are not simply resurrected back to life. We are resurrected into a new life, into a world transformed by death to be both more beautiful and less powerful. More beautiful because the eyes of resurrection can more clearly see the hand of God upon each tree, each hill, each river, each creature, and recognize this world as the gift of love that it is. Less powerful because this world now holds no fear. Death is defeated. The hollowness and the falseness of the powers of this world are revealed. Whether that power is the Roman Empire, as it was for the Christians of Colossae, or the familiar temptations faced by the brother worried about getting his share of the family's wealth, or the rich farmer in Jesus' story who thinks that his wealth is the measure of his worth, and that he can take care of himself with no help from or responsibility to anyone else. Set free from fear frees us to live. For it is fear, personal fear or corporate fear, that motivates selfishness and greed, that motivates violence and a great deal of anger. Fear makes us vulnerable to being controlled by the evil powers of the world, whether spiritual, political, or personal. Being set free of fear sets us free from the need to use whatever power we do have in destructive or exploitative ways that demean ourselves and other people. Our life has already been demanded of us. We have already died, and our life is now hidden in Christ with God. Or to put it another way, our life is now part of the life of Christ. Our life is an extension of the life of Christ, sustained not by our own power, but by God's. Which means that instead of worrying about what is ours, we can concentrate on who is ours. Instead of building bigger barns, we can feel free to build bigger tables. Instead of being anxious about preserving our life, we can simply live it with confidence and gratitude each day, knowing that we are already, today and yesterday and tomorrow, that we are already living the eternal life which is God's plan for all creation. We are already living in union with God, and through God, in union with one another, including those we see no longer. We are already living in God's realm of unimaginable grace, where mercy and justice, generosity and compassion are extended to all. It's a wild assertion, partly because the world works so hard to make it impossible to believe. When we watch in horror as children starve and cities are bombed and people are held captive, when forest fires rage and floods destroy, when we bear witness to the suffering of those we love, or when we face the loneliness of our own grief, it is a wild, wild assertion. But ours is a wild faith, if we would but claim it, to stand in the face of evil or fear or suffering or death and refuse to allow it victory, because we know that its apparent victory is the greatest lie of all. To stand in the face of evil or fear or suffering or death and insist that the way of mercy and freedom, compassion and joy, love and life is not only desirable, but entirely possible and has already been given to us. And so we prove it by our own living, today and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and on into eternity. For just like the Nacmac Fiegels, we are already dead, and we have been raised to new life. And so even at the grave, we make our song, Alleluia. Alleluia, Alleluia.